Hi, good morning and welcome, everyone. This is Seek Sustainable Japan. This is a very exciting episode. We are talking about our top five hot takes about sustainable Japan for 2026. We each have five. We're going to try to stick to 2 minutes to talk about each one to stay within our 30 minutes. I'm JJ Walsh, your host in Hiroshima, Japan, joined by my amazing collaborator.
Hi, I'm Tova Kinoka in Yokohama, Japan.
And welcome, everyone. We are live, so please add your comments and questions. And even if you're watching on replay, if you add your comments and questions, we promise to reply. Should I start?
Go for it.
All right. So I recently, unfortunately, had an accident and my EV is totaled. But everything, you know, was not my fault. So it's going to be replaced. And the really good news is I was already thinking about changing from the unethical company that I was driving to a more ethical, forward, positive, if possible, made, you know, Japan company EV. And I'm getting really excited about what's available in Japan. EVs 2026, Japan finally is going for it. Really launching these EVs in Japan, not just abroad. Years ago, I asked my Honda dealer, do you have any EVs? When I was looking, and Japanese companies just didn't have them here. The market wasn't ready. So this year is really exciting. We're going to see a lot of new EVs launching, including right now, Honda has an N1, which is a really cute, boxy car. I had a Honda Vamos for many years, really happy with it. And then they're coming out soon with the Super One. And my dealer, my local dealer, who's helped me even with insurance with a different car for years, he's helped me for years. So I know they've got good, really great aftercare. It's a local dealer who has EVs right now. And he said in April, May, the Super One's coming. Now, this is a really fun new car. If you want, you can play the sound of an engine as you drive, if that's what you fancy. It's a much more sporty, boxy type. And a lot of the EVs are more sedan or SUVs are really popular around the world. But for most of us, we do city driving mostly in Japan. We want the smaller, boxier cars, easier to park, right?
Yeah.
But some really other exciting ones coming out this year. Mazda's electric line, a really long range, good pricing. Toyota's got a really stylish new one, which is a nice size, also longer range. So we're talking, if it's longer range, it's 500 kilometer range on a charge. The smaller ones, like I'm looking at, is 300 kilometer range. But the charging network is so good now in Japan. It's much, much easier in 2026 to go charge your car. And a lot of them charge quite fast. So it only takes about 30 minutes. Most of them are at department stores. So you can do a bit of shopping along the way, right?
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant to hear. That's really encouraging.
So I'm going to go to Hiroshima. There's a strip which has Volvo and Mazda and Honda and Toyota all in a line. And I don't have a car now, so I'm just going to walk, take my bike over and walk area to area and just see what they have available, see what they're excited about. I think this is going to be a great year for Japanese car companies and EVs, finally.
Yeah. Good. That's really positive. Great to hear.
Now, Tova, you had a great new one, food, no food waste new app, which is launching in Japan as well. Can you tell us about this?
Yep. So Too Good To Go is a company that kind of redistributes food coming towards the end of its shelf life. So rather than being chucked in the gourmet, whatever you say, how do you say gourmet, in the waste basket, I guess, or the skip, it actually can be used. It's perfectly good food. And it's been, I can't remember where it originated, but it's something that's been on my radar for a little while. It's been out there outside Japan, and it's just launching in Japan, which is really wonderful to see because, you know, that there's a lot of great food that's still left at the end of the day. It seems such a shame, particularly when a lot of people are struggling. to make ends meet with cost of living rising, etc. It seems like a win for the planet, a win for people. It's great for the businesses to not see, you know, their food going into the skip. So that was really encouraging. And kind of relating to that, actually, I was in Kyoto 2 weeks ago on a client project. And coming home, I was just getting in the subway station to head back to Kyoto main station. And I saw a guy, unfortunately, I didn't have time to get a photo because I was rushing to get my train. But I saw a guy with a tray of bread filling in and putting it in this kind of what looked like a kind of cross between a locker stand and a vending machine. And again, it's bread that sort of at the end of the day would otherwise be chucked out. He's putting it in these things and people can go and help themselves either very cheaply or free. I didn't have time to check out the details. But these things are starting to come up now. Food waste, I think, is becoming a sort of more in the public awareness. The fact that it is a huge issue and it doesn't need to be such a huge issue. So it's really great to see apps like this, but also that sort of stand in just in a train station in Kyoto.
Yeah, that's fantastic, just, isn't it? And then I think we talked last month about the new stickers that convenience stores are putting on food that's a little bit old with the crying face of the rice ball, and it encourages people to buy it before it goes off. Before it's no good, and you can get a discount, so it's like a win-win, especially now a lot of people feeling the crunch of inflation. Japan didn't have inflation for 30 years. Now we do, so a lot of people really feeling that gap between the wages and the costs, right?
Yeah very much. I've seen some of those stickers recently in the convenience stores near us, so my daughter and I were looking going, oh, there we go, we can choose those ones. And
really good. Another of my top five for this year is vegan food. Yay. I really get the feeling, you know, and this is a great article from Japan Times last year talking about how vegan food is on the rise. Last year in 2025, we had 43 million international visitors to Japan, the biggest ever. And of course, we have a lot of domestic tourists, but the difference about international visitors is there's so much demand for plant-based food, for things that don't have meat and fish. I would say personally, 50% or more of my visitors from Europe, from North America, they, even if they eat meat and fish, they don't want to eat meat and fish every meal. Yeah. And if there's a vegan vegetarian option, they often choose it, even if they don't identify as vegan vegetarian.
Yeah.
And more than 50% of my guests also do not ever eat pork. And pork is a really big barrier in Japan. There's most of the popular foods have pork in it, including okonomiyaki in Hiroshima, the bacon strips, but also the sauce, right?
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to see more plant-based options available. I want to highlight Vegan Osaka. No matter where you are in Japan, you can order her amazing vegan cheeses. Now, these I highlight in short reels once a month when I get my box, but her cheeses are like proper hard cheese. You can eat in sandwiches. You can eat on crackers. I don't see anything comparable sold in Japan yet. My dream, and I told her this, I want her on the show next month. My dream is for her to be in every convenience store, you know, to be in every supermarket, like start branching out, because we need it. We need these options.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I've noticed our local supermarket is now offering one kind of plant-based cheese, actually, which is really good to see. And when I was on that trip in Kyoto the other week, I went with my colleague after the workshop to a little tiny Japanese izakaya, like literally the place fitted maybe sort of 15 people, you know, max. But they had so many plant-based options on the menu, but traditional Japanese ones, which was absolutely wonderful to see. So there were wonderful things like roast ginnan, the nuts, kind of roast nuts in their shells, all hot and wonderful, and yuba, the tofu skin and stuff, absolutely beautiful. I mean, some of it was so good we ordered it twice, the same dish, because it was just too good and we wanted
more. That's amazing. I'm spoiled for choice when I go to Tokyo, Osaka, all the big cities, even Hiroshima. We now have a fabulous Japanese, all vegan Japanese food place, Joge Sayu, which is very cool and boutique and just amazing. Ice cream parfaits as well. And then an amazing KI, all vegetarian, vegan Chinese food. Oh, wow. And, you know, we're having more and more of these all vegan, all vegetarian, you're spoiled for choice kind of places, where in the old days, maybe you have one place that has one option, right?
Yeah.
So I have such a good feeling about plant-based for 2026. Let's go. Finally. Good.
Bring it on.
Now, you talked a little bit about the IKEA 2050 idea, and this idea, IKEA launched in 2024, a more multi-area kind of view of sustainability. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, this is something, this concept of, I've heard it called multi-solving, and it was something that sort of came up at the One Young World Summit when I was at that in Munich last year, and one of the companies on stage was talking about the concept of multi-solving and how a lot of sustainability issues are very complex and interrelated. You've got not just one single issue, but a lot of things that kind of interdependent of each other. So you start to address one thing, but then it has knock-on effects. And those effects can be negative, but they can also be positive if we understand how they're connected and look at the big picture. So we were talking to IKEA last week and hearing about their sort of Life at Home 2050 project, which is a five-year project. And they're looking at sort of all of those things like the cost of living, how people are living. And so they're thinking ahead to, okay, if we're looking at 2050, what are the things that we need to be taking into consideration in terms of our lifestyle? And they're looking at food and nutrition and home-cooked food and more plant-based. They're looking at what are our homes sort of using in terms of furniture? How are those things made? Are they circular? So they're looking at circular economy a lot. They're looking at health and well-being, and actually how are people, you know, beginning to live? There are more sort of single-person households, for example. People are choosing to not have families, not get married and say, actually, I want my own life. But then that comes with issues like sort of perhaps loneliness or mental health challenges sometimes if you're alone. So they're looking at, okay, well, how can we make sure that people still have a sense of community and feel connected, but can also have the freedom to have the lifestyle they want? So it's really interesting the way they're looking at how all these things kind of intersect, and then looking at, well, what are the changes we need to make in the products, in lifestyle, in working practices and so on, to actually move towards a sort of a holistically better way of living that's better for planet, better for people, better for society. So
it's so integrated, isn't it? Like on their website about the 2050 project, they're talking with people about how do you feel about the gender equality in your household, in your community, in your government, right? So it's not just from companies. It's not just from government. It's really thinking from the ground up as well. What is what is people's lived experience of these issues,
Very much. And of course, that's very close to, you know, their business as a retailer aimed at B2C. You know, that's what it's all about. So it kind of started from there. But then they're doing a really good job of sort of looking at the big picture, I think, and bringing together, yes, the sort of the policy societal side, but also real personal stories, like voices of people in different demographics. So, interesting to see.
Yeah, wonderful. What a great idea, like to just think about things a bit differently and think about all the integrated, connected issues, because it's not just one simple idea, right?
Yeah,
exactly. And it never stops.
Yeah.
All right, my next one is really highlighting traditional houses, rural life. Kominka Japan has their Minka Summit coming up April 24, 25, and 26 in rural Kyoto. I will be one of the speakers. I'm also doing a panel with a guy talking about sustainable living. I'll be doing a talk about how to create more sustainable tours around your Minka. So if you're gonna buy an old house, a lot of people are creating some income flow by renovating an old house, maybe buying two, one to live in, one to rent out as a guest house. And we know there's so much demand in Japan now for people, especially on their second visit to Japan. They don't want to go to the big cities.
Yeah.
They're really looking for off the beaten track experiences. Mm-hmm. So this is a great way to fund your life. You don't need that much money when you're living outside in the rural areas. But how can you create an interesting tour around your town? So not just people can stay there, but you can create kind of an orientation tour and really help support local businesses, really give the visitor that deeper value of visiting your area. So I think it'd be really exciting. Join us if you're into it. End of April, you can buy your tickets online.
Very cool.
All right. Now, you went to a great event this week, Impact Women. And you have high hopes for more women forward events this year, is that right?
Yep, definitely. Well, it was really interesting. So it was last Sunday at Tokyo Innovation Base. And it was sort of highlighting women entrepreneurs in all kinds of fields, everything from super deep tech through to healthcare was a big focus. They had panels on sort of looking at sort of challenges around stereotypes and sort of the actual barriers and self sort of perceived barriers, perhaps as well, things, stories, narratives we tell ourselves that hold us back. But it was really exciting to see a whole range of companies coming up, women-led, women-founded, doing really, really well. So, and particularly in the area of women's healthcare, I think there were a couple looking at sort of tech-based startups looking at women's health, one looking at, for example, menopause and access to health information, helping people get a much better understanding of their body and what it's going through, and just being able to find this information when you need it, which hasn't, particularly in Japan, I think has not been easy up until now, or currently still is not easy. So that's addressing that issue. There's another one, sort of founder of Code Chrysalis is now breaking away and she's starting a new venture that's going to be looking at helping you sort of track your own rhythms and design working, your working patterns, if you like, around your body's patterns. You know when you're most productive and when you're not, and how to kind of manage that energy around. So, and take advantage of the times when you are more energized. So there's some really interesting work coming on there, and it's great to see that sort of really getting out there in the world. So that was very cool. And there was one male speaker.
You mentioned Ichigo Bloom.
Well, that was the one male speaker. So Stefan Delu, founder of Ichigo Bloom, was speaking about their recently launched gender equity collage. And I attended the first one, sort of trial one, back in December. And so that, I think they're just finalizing the translations and everything for the Japanese version now. And they'll be getting that out into the world. But that's sort of helping people understand the data and the sort of the background behind various issues, and then linking that through to actions, behaviors, into impact. So all of their frescoes, as they call them, are amazing. They've got the climate one, biodiversity, plastic, but this gender equity is a new one. And so Stefan's very excited to get that out there. So it was great to have him talking about that.
That's awesome. So much exciting events coming up. And I know even recently teaching at university in Kitakyushu, and more than half of the students are women. And so I made a point of always having examples of women in business, women entrepreneurs, talking about women in the news, women inventors of the past. Like, you have to make an effort as an educator, right? But so many of the women in the class said, oh man, I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And even saying in their essays, they feel inspired by the confidence of seeing a woman in the top position, prime minister in Japan, no matter what you feel about her politics, having a woman there for the very first time has been a big boost to women working and living in Japan, especially Japanese women, right?
Exactly. It's just showing it's possible, right? It's no longer just this sort of mythical idea that people talk about in theory. She's shown it's possible. So as you say, whatever you think of her politics, it's broken barriers.
It has. And having that positive example of a woman speaking to international diplomats and stuff, right? It makes a big difference, right?
Yeah, very much.
All right. My next one is about Smart Energy Week and clean tech in Japan. I was reading and introducing to my students about how at the latest COP, one of the exciting things Japanese businesses were talking about is how to upcycle or reuse parts from renewable energy.
Yes.
Nobody is really talking about that yet. There's a lot of new innovation about batteries and renewable energy and technology, a new kind of solar panel, right? All these things which are really coming out fast from Japan. We might have a labor shortage, we might have a population decline, but we have creative, innovative thinkers who are making things happen. And so this Smart Energy Week is happening this March for 3 days in Tokyo Big Sight, and then September 9 to 11 in Makuhari, which I believe is in Chiba, and then November 18 to 20 in Osaka. So if you're interested, you know, it's great. They've got three venues, three different locations, three times of the year to have all of these vendors, like thousands of vendors there. They're expecting 70,000 people to visit. It's amazing. So really exciting. Clean tech forward. Let's go. We know the problems. We know the solutions, right? So I think that'll be really exciting this year.
Yep. Brilliant. Oh, that's really positive to see as well. And there are a lot of great events going on, actually showcasing what's possible now, what's coming up. So I think it's good to see these things building momentum and visibility.
For sure. Now, you were also talking a little bit about tech, a new kind of app for social media called Upscrolled. And I did a little search about this, and it's such an important issue right now because we know misinformation is such a big deal. We know Twitter and TikTok are being so controlled and compromised, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's where this has come from. And I only found out about it yesterday, and I haven't looked into it in sort of a huge amount of detail yet. But it was my daughter, actually, that sort of showed it to me, because I think she, like a lot of her generation, kind of are really frustrated with the tech bros and their sort of their whole philosophy and way of doing business that is not helping a lot of the issues that are going on in the world. And so they're looking for alternatives. And this was one that she was showing me yesterday. I don't know if it's the only one, whether there are other things coming up like this, but it seemed to kind of signal a shift in, I think, awareness and giving some agency to people, you know, normal people, to say, actually, no, I don't want to use Facebook or TikTok or whatever. And you know, currently, I think a lot of us, including myself, use them because we want to stay connected to the people that we like and, you know, connected to around the world. And there aren't really alternatives at the moment. So seeing something like this come up, which is giving us options and more ethical options, I think is a really positive step and will hopefully also shake up the big companies and make them think about, actually, if people are going to go away from us and stop using our services because they're not happy with the ethics and the impact, twice about how they're doing things, and also up their game as well. So I think it can only have positive momentum. So really encouraging.
Absolutely. And I was just reading in the newspaper the other day about how universities are starting to create their own apps. You can scroll through amazing books and quotes from different books and choose different books to read or listen to audiobooks. So we know that there is a big, you know, misinformation problem. So it's great when you have academics or social impact organizations stepping in and saying, we want you to be able to do that. We know you need that dopamine hit. You want the information fast, but how can we do it in a more meaningful, sustainable, educational, and true and honest way, right? That protects us as a community.
Yeah, very much so.
That's awesome. That's really exciting to hear. So the last one that I had was talking about sustainable travel more. Next month on February 12th, we have the Japan Travel Awards for 2026. And I've been a part of this from the beginning. And it's such an exciting award ceremony to be a part of. I'll put the link below. You can see all the winners for this year, which was last year. But every year, year on year, I'm just so impressed by the kinds of places that are coming up. A lot of rural tourism, so getting away from the city center. But even one of the big winners this year is in kimono. And she's in Asakusa. Mm-hmm. And I just did a kimono dress up and photography session with her. And even though she's in central Tokyo, she is taking us around like back streets. So you can still escape the crowds. You can still have sustainable travel, even in the cities. It doesn't take that much effort, right? To find these great places with lots of interesting things to see with a good local guide, right? So having people develop these more sustainable tours and amazing guest houses and what they offer, protecting nature, like some of them are in natural reserves, right? Where they're doing conservation plus guest house at the same time, areas around Japan, which are, like I said, renovating old houses, but also bringing visitors to that area they wouldn't come otherwise, right? And then exploring that area. So there's so much potential and definitely something to keep an eye on. If you're in the Tokyo area, you can even join the event next month as well.
Next month. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, cool. I'll put that below. Now, I think your last one talking about nature and biodiversity.
Yes, so this is one of my pet topics. You know, going back to growing up on a farm in the middle of nowhere and biology at uni, this has always been important. And I've kind of been frustrated in the sustainability work when everybody just talks about carbon and it's carbon. It's like, yes, that's incredibly important. We need to be taking huge, you know, much more action on that. But it's kind of, we also hear the term carbon tunnel vision, right? And not looking at the broader picture of ecosystem services that our planet provides to us as individuals, as businesses. So looking also at biodiversity, at water usage, at soil health, and things like this. So Biodiversify is a company that we met last year. They're a UK-based biodiversity consultancy, helping companies really understand their impact, their risks, build solid strategies and take action on these things. They are now coming into Japan, and they've got their first sort of big Japanese client in Suntory, which is really wonderful to see a big Japanese company taking sort of this really, really seriously and saying, no, we need a really solid strategy here. And so they're working with Suntory, and that's been publicly announced. They've also got other conversations going on. So we really hope to see them doing really well, but hopefully seeing these high profile companies like Suntory, I think taking it seriously and moving forward is going to encourage others to also look at, oh, okay, so this is something we need to think about. And even if you're a smaller company, you might well be in the value chain for these bigger companies that are being sort of pushed to by investors, push by regulations, to have solid strategies and be taking action on this. So you're also going to be part of that story as well. So this is something that every company needs to be looking at. And I'm really hoping we're going to see a lot more momentum, and this will be a catalyst for that. So, I'm finally really excited about what's happening for nature. It's moving forward at long last.
That's really exciting. And it's great to see such a clear, easily laid out, all the ideas are, simply explained. I think that's a problem we often run into as well with sustainability, is all this jargon, all these really difficult to understand concepts, right? Let's keep it simple. What is that? Yeah. That KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yes. Very much a need for that. And I think that's been a problem, right? With all the science coming out, it's sort of people look at it, and if that's not your world, it's like, oh, okay, really, let's leave it to the nerds. I'm not sure what that's all about. But I think Biodiversify does a great job of kind of making it really understandable and accessible. And that will help build momentum and understanding as well. So they're doing a great job.
So it is the end of our 30 minutes. We did it, Tova. Let's just go through our five really quickly at the end. So for me, I'm really excited about sustainable travel. The Japan Travel Awards has so many great examples every year. I'm really excited about Japan's EVs. At last, we're launching so many exciting new options this year. Lots of different sizes, really good quality. Traditional houses and rural living in Japan with the Kominka Summit. Really excited to go to that and hear so much about artisan and craftspeople and how we can preserve that culture as well as higher quality life. Clean tech innovation, Smart Energy Week, really exciting events coming up, and the plant-based boom, more and more options. Thank you, international tourists. How about you, Tova? Can you tell us your five?
Okay, I'm just quickly getting my list up so I don't forget. So for me, food waste, seeing applications and solutions come in for that. We've got multi-solving companies looking at sort of interrelated problems and taking a more holistic view on tackling those. Consumer power in action with things like the upscroll, sort of challenging the big, less ethical organizations and giving us more options to exercise our power as individuals. Women in sort of entrepreneurs taking some big steps and solving some of the problems that maybe more particular to women, and nature have been taken seriously, and sort of big companies moving forward finally on that.
So there's so much negativity every day, but these are 10 amazing things to look forward to. These are our hot takes for sustainable Japan this year. Thanks everyone for joining. Thank you so much, Tova.
You're welcome.
See you next month, everybody. Take care.